just too much. And it's too much if even a half a dozen get together and try to own it. What do they own? They own a pinball in space. They own virtually nothing. And by the abusing of what they find this way, they lose what they did have. We have coming into a world that has been exhausted by exploitation, ignorance, and selfishness. And now, none of those factors are religious. It is not true that we were foreordained and predestined to kill ourselves. It is not true that the highest phase of religion is to believe nothing. These things are false attitudes, and they are attitudes which we have to work out. They are the seat of good attitudes. The home of the real principles that we should be cherishing is in ourselves. And in the heart is the dweller in the innermost. And it is this dweller, always silent but always there, that can give us the impulses and give us the pressures to make the changes that are necessary. We see every once in a while some great person comes along who has made these changes, who has done these things, and the world admires them. But the world thinks it's a sort of strange. It's all right for other people to be good and to give up all the vices that they think they like. But nobody wants to be that good person. They're happy that that person has done it, and they might even raise a small fund to help take care of that person. But there's no enthusiasm for being like it or doing the same thing themselves. We had this problem of Mother Teresa, which has been quite a moving one in recent years. But no one is rushing by the hundreds to become Mother Teresa. It is simply that they respect greatness, but they have not the instinct to want to achieve it at the expense of being small people. And this is true in religion in all these different fields that we're in. In our field, we're working very hard to try to help people to unfold the innermost parts of their own natures. And we think to ourselves, let's try to find some way to help people to grow, to help to give them and make available to them the things that they need. Now, when you do this, what happens? We probably have a lot of very sincere people now trying to find better ways. Well, if an individual will read 12 books and go to 20 different teachers and take a dozen different classes on every subject you can think of, and then go home and 2 months later break their home, walk out on the family. It doesn't mean anything too much. All this intellectual attainment is something that you can get good at, or you can do meditations or write books under clairvoyant influence. But when it comes right down to raising a family in a healthy, constructive manner as part of religion, it's not so common. But it's the few who say, I have made written obligations, these I will keep. I am not living to get out of my labors and obligations, but to perfect them. This immediately becomes a positive statement. And any individual who's out working to fulfill something, to accomplish something that needs doing, on which they know it's possible within their power to do it. Well, they're working that way, they're growing. And the philosophy of life is growth. It is not saving up and storing up a mass of intangibles. The things we're always looking for in people who are students is growth. The individual who wishes to be better. But we find too often that little ulterior motives are cropping out on all sides. We can do a little, but what we really want to know is who is it that has a job that they don't care for very much, but what needs to be done, and in which there would be a great amount of personal growth as a result of doing it. If we can convince people with those problems to do the thing that answers, we'd soon have a lot of better people in this world. We'd have a better generation growing up. We'd have less chance of war. We would have a reduction of crime. But the individual who's constantly aware of what is wrong, but does not wish to change his own ways to make it any better, is the problem we all have to face. And Paul was fully aware that there was no way of breaking through that personality from the outside. That person, individual, may make all these mistakes, give his life to God and be burned at the stake and still not correct his mistakes. It is something different from this. It has to happen. And this thing that has to happen is the recognition of deity as an indwelling eternal. There's something that is always available. That while we have a dozen small temptations, we have one tremendous guide toward truth, if we want to use it. While there are all kinds of ways in which we can do a little of this and a little of that, there is a one way in which we can do what we were here to do, and that is grow. And growth is the only thing in the end that will bring lasting peace and happiness. The more people grow, the better the world will be. And that each individual in the world becomes part of an environment. And the improvement of individuals improves environment. And improved environment, again, improves more individuals. It goes on until a major change takes place. What we need now from the world is a good, solid statement of what we must be doing and why we must not do it, why we must do it. If these committees that are meeting everywhere in the world would get together and work for one purpose, to create a pattern for satisfactory citizenship, a pattern of what a civil service person must be, and no other kind will be acceptable. If they can make the career of leadership something that is a responsibility to serve the people instead of an opportunity to double the salary, we've got to have this different point of view. But when we get that point of view, and pretend at least that we have leaders who can lead and followers who have sense enough to follow when the leader is right and sense enough not to follow if the leader is wrong, then we have the individual of nearly 6 billion of them in all walks of life, of all colors, all shades, all degrees of intellect and all degrees of wisdom, out here in this tremendous hinterland that we call the earth. These people, each one of them, has within it a fragment of immortality. The only thing that is real is these people. The only thing that is important is to release the integrities of these people. Well, these released integrities are the only answer to our pressing need for the future. If we can bring the people into patterns of intelligence, this planet can carry a very nice load for many thousands of years to come, with no one deprived of anything essential. But if everyone goes crazy and uses everything they can for an odd dollar for themselves, we're going to be in a very bad way in the next 100 years. So the time is to move from the law of the jungle, which is what most people have lived by, to the law of the gods. And that is a law of to live in honor and in law in the service of truth. And that the great power of the total reality of things, that we call the infinite deity, is present in each of us in a fragment of itself, the seed of its own eternity. And that each of these seeds is capable of growing and unfolding to become a wonderful witness in the court of the Lord. And each of those who come in to worship carries in his heart the seed of that which he worships. Before the altar, he communes with his deity. But every day and every night, he lives with God. Because whether he knows it or not, if God is not there, he is dead. So that we have all these things to do, and things can be done if people will start simple daily efforts to do it right, to become better citizens in private affairs, not to some of these public things we talk about, but to slow down on the criticisms that destroy hope, slow down on the differences which magnify, present final restriction. Slow down on the dividing forces. Don't try so hard to be a complete individual in spite of everybody else who's alive. Be not so quite so fast to want to have all things your way. Share instead of demand. Give instead of take. And you will find gradually that the flowers will bloom again in the desert. That we are gradually blighting everything by the fact that we are trying desperately to become despots. And as despots, we are in trouble. But it is not so intended. It is intended that not that we are our brother's keeper, but that we are our brother's friend. And that a common love, the love of humanity, the love of natural being, the love of people who like to be together, the love of God, which is the final form of adoration. All these things, if developed obviously and adequately, will make this world the kind of place we want to live in. But if we don't do something with it, we're going to gradually get it worse and worse. And someday we're going to be crazy enough to say there is no God. And that for that time they might be right, because they will have killed it. Now the way you kill a God is very simple. You just get rid of the people who have God in their souls. And that those people, when they go, there is no longer any contact with the environment. The deity in heaven remains. New worlds will be formed. New nations will come forth. New projects will be invented. New planets will be fertile for salvation. But the one that leaves everything and departs completely from the laws of life has life removed from them. And they will not have this opportunity except to go back to the beginning and start over. We have to do something to think things through more definitely, more realistically. We have to take the ideals and dreams that we have all had and which we are all trying to do. We must take our reading and our writing and our thinking and try to make it fit into a pattern of being better people. Keep a little card with a bad diet for a while. And every time you're irritated by somebody, put it down. And see after a day or two if you can't clean it up. Every time you scandalize someone, make a note of it. Every time you put some desire of yourself at the head of a list to the loss of someone else, put it down. Keep track of your mistakes. It's easy to forget them. But if you keep track of them, you will very shortly find that each person has a little circle of mistakes that they are most likely to make. Some individuals just can't keep quiet. They can't keep it a secret. They can't refrain from spreading gossip or bad news. Another one cannot stand criticism and explodes in the face of it. Another has great antagonism to a religion or a philosophy or to a person. Others hate their neighbors. Some hate their parents. But all of these things, if written down by a mature, grown-up person and looked over by that person, will begin to look pretty foolish. And in a short time, with a little discipline, they can rub out those names and those words one by one until they can face life without prejudice, conceit, or effort to disintegrate someone out through jealousy or something of that nature. So we want to put all this philosophy we can to work. It needs to work. We need it every day now. It's getting close. So if we can do as best we can all get somewhere, and we'll all be better for it. And we'll agree, I think, a little bit that possibly St. Paul is right, that hope, faith, and love, these are the three. But the greatest of these is love. And love is the thing that takes bitterness out of life. It takes malice out of life, not only in nations, but in individuals. It is the forgiveness of the ills of each other and the willingness to forgive as we would be forgiven. And out of that comes the very basic essence of the best of Christian religion, which is the religion of letting the God in the heart rule the mind and the hand and dedicate the labors of the life to the accomplishment of good. Okay.